We're here with Brad Hayes, and we are lucky to have him, Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College, a PhD in Government and Politics from the University of Maryland. His areas of expertise include American political development, constitutional politics, and American institutions. Welcome back, Brad. We always learn something when you're here.
Always great to be on with you, Alan. Thanks.
Okay, so Paul Ryan has quit. He's not going to be the speaker anymore when his term runs out. How come?
Well, he said he wanted to spend more time with his family.
That's a joke.
But yeah, I mean, it's very clear that trying to manage the congressional coalition, trying to manage the White House, has basically chewed him up. He has not had a great deal of success. If he had, it'd probably be a different story. This is the speakership is something that he was reluctant to get into, I think, for the very reasons that he experienced, right? That there was an unruly coalition, highly fragmented Republican Party, that you're trying to manage to produce, you know, certain kind of shared values. But the reality is that it's not clear what those shared values are for the Republican Party right now. You can even think about the item that he kind of held up as being the great success, which is the tax cuts. Ryan came in to the House as a deficit hawk, right? But we know that the projections are showing that this is going to balloon the deficit and contribute significantly to the debt. So even kind of looking at his own criteria for success, it seems as if they're failing. And so I think it's pretty clear that just trying to manage that coalition wasn't working very well. And then, layering with that, trying to work with the White House doesn't appear to be worth the challenge, right? They've had one.
There's no winning that one,
right? I mean, there's been one major legislative success, if you want to call it that, the tax reforms. But Trump is wildly inconsistent. He's divisive. He's volatile, and these keep showing up on the speaker's door, right? They're constantly asking Paul Ryan to explain Trump or to try to rationalize Trump. Or to apologize for Trump, that too has to have a particular burden. And you also have to just wonder how much Ryan's been paying attention to how the people that have worked under Trump, their reputations have been sullied by that relationship. And he's coming out somewhat intact. I think somewhat should be emphasized there. But it may be time to get out.
So he wants to be president of the United States. We all know that. Is it too late for him? Has he been sullied to the point where even if he jumps now, is he done for?
I think he has to jump now in order to be viable later. He can still claim to go out a winner right now. He can claim it. I think it's a contestable claim, but if in fact he loses the majority and the writing seems to be on the wall that, and obviously his retirement from Congress is suggestive that they see the writing on the wall, that the Republicans will lose the majority, that's going to be, I think, deeply damaging to the idea of having future prospects as a Republican candidate for president.
Now, wait a second. That raises another question, which is, if they're in the minority, right, who wants to be in a minority?
I'm not sure that anybody wants to be, although there are opportunities, right? There are opportunities for leadership. There's opportunities for more successful coalition management.
He's the speaker now, Brad.
He's the speaker now, but...
What does he want to do, be the head of a policy group?
Sure. Yeah, make lots of money. No, absolutely. On the outside. Thinking about whoever is next, whether that's McCarthy or Steve Scalise, coalition management is often easier in opposition because you can simply coalesce around the idea of opposing the majority.
Yeah, but nobody wants to buy you. And in Congress, that's a big thing. As Plunkett once told us, there's honest graft and dishonest graft. Everybody wants to get to the majority. The minority, not so much.
Yeah, and there's also short-term and long-term, right? And so sometimes you make a long-term investment. So if, in fact, you become the minority leader, you're playing the odds for long-term benefits as becoming the next Speaker of the House whenever the the tide turns and you're able to take back the majority. So, I mean, I do think that there are reasons why you want to be in a leadership position, even if you're in the minority. But nevertheless, the point is that the Ryan retirement is suggestive that the Republican coalition is just extraordinarily difficult right now, and that anybody who assumes that position is likely to have a very difficult time moving forward and creating some type of unity towards a particular agenda.
I wanted to ask you a question. I know there's a famous rule in which the Republicans are saying, unless we have a majority just with our Republicans, we're not passing any bills in coalition with the Democrats. Is that smart?
Is it smart? I think it depends on what kind of a dimension you're looking at. So one version of that is that the Republicans were wildly successful in limiting what the Obama administration could do through this blanket opposition to anything that the Democrats wanted to do, certainly what the administration wanted to do. If you're looking at it from a perspective of governance, I think not, for two reasons. One, the policies that are enacted entirely without your input. And that means that you've forfeited any type of influence or control that you might have other than that veto, other than that no that you're pushing for. And the other way is simply that it reduces the functionality of government, right? If in fact one party control means that only one party is having any type of influence in the kinds of laws that are being created nationally, that's problematic.
Well, right? Would the Democrats have signed on if they said, okay, let's do it in coalition?
I don't know. In
for example, DACA. DACA right. Would have been passed if they allowed it to the floor.
Well, we know that. So, I mean, going back to the Obama administration, right, that grand deal that they had to reduce the deficit almost entirely over the course of a decade and begin to draw down the debt, that was a bipartisan agreement that looked like it would have it had the support of the Republican leadership in the House and the Senate. It had obviously Obama's approval, but it failed because it didn't have enough support among the Republican membership. So I think Democrats have been a little bit more willing to deal than Republicans. But at the same time, like we're in the period of Trump, and they're, you know, I think that right now the Democratic Party is being defined as in their hostility to Trump. So I'm not sure that Democrats right now are going to be willing to get on board with very much.
So it's always great fun to be in the Congressional Corner with Brad Hayes, Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College. Brad, are all its students listening carefully and writing notes?
I hope so. Maybe if I offer extra credit.